Helium is an exceptionally fine element to use in your catalytic converters, etc. So if you didn't use it for anything else other than pollution, etc., it has great value, but its value is so far beyond that that I don't even need to talk about it in this room. And I believe that you will know. Am I correct, EJ, in assuming that ones in this room, visitors in this room, will know of whom I speak?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm not positive, but I doubt it. They would know if with another clue or two.
His last name starts with an M and ends with a Y. Is that good enough? And it has O-O-D in the middle? Everybody with me!
That's clear enough.
If I can get through EJ, I can get through anything. That's worth looking into. I'm not going to name the names of the ones who have the mine. Please. And a lot of money was poured into it, and it was lost. And I don't know what else to tell you. It is just like deep holes in the earth. You are playing in any of these things. You are playing with the masterminds of the adversary. And I can tell you everything. I can promise you everything. And I have sunk vessels carrying gold. I personally enjoyed watching them go down. I said I would do it. I did it. And I know where it's at. But wouldn't it be interesting if I tried to let you guys use it? Your lives become worthless. So we have to be very careful. Ones have interpreted my statements that I have to be on top of what happens out here and properties and things like that. It isn't. I don't care what you do. I just have to tell you that if you go out and deliberately do something against what is going to ultimately happen here, you're going to fail. It isn't that I'm going to make you fail. It is because you are in competition. And I cannot fail. Does everybody hear me? I may not fail. And I don't understand why we have to become adversaries at it. Are we so impatient that we cannot wait? Are we starving? Are we unsheltered? Are we unclothed? Are we... What can you want more than to work with God's hosts? Never mind me. Never mind me. And I know when these things happen, you didn't believe in the first place. No matter what you said. Because no matter what you did or think, you would not go away. Not from this. No way, no how, no time. Wouldn't happen. So something gets in the way, either ego or failure, embarrassment. No matter what the cause, people turn away. And that's just fine. But look where we would be if we followed the people that have gone away. I can't do it. I will not do it. And if we never get the mission accomplished in this valley, for instance, so be it. We will not compromise God's way. Not even for one moment of an ego trip. Not one moment. I cannot play into that game. I will not play into that game. And I have said all of this because there's never been another mention of anyone competing for some of the land out here, that I fully intend for you ones to have control of. Why? Because it's got all of the elements that I need for space skins, the things you'll need to save your lives. And it's going to be an island. And that doesn't mean it's like the 100th monkey. Genetically, it doesn't mean you're going to be clean over here on this island. It means you are going to be infested with poisonous snakes as they come up from the sea. And I'm not talking about sea snakes. I'm talking about water swimming. Every one of your species of snakes can swim. And you are infested around these areas with Mojave greens, the deadliest of the rattlesnake vipers. You've got coral snake, cottonmouth moccasins that will, yes sir, be able to make it this far. These are better known in the south. But you've got two or three varieties of poisonous snakes that don't rattle at you. Copperheads, moccasins. You will be astounded. You're going to have to be on your toes as these earth changes begin to happen. As the earth begins to shift underneath and shake. And I don't know if Sullivans would have noticed this out around them, because they just sit there on the fault and shake. And guess what? They depend on God to keep their house intact, and so far it's worked. I'm a little astounded. They're right on the fault. And it tossed some of their wonderful things around, but they sustained. You should know about them. They are artists. And I'm talking about art, sculpture, moldings, bronzes. They are artists. And we're honored to know them. And especially to bring supplies and paint. Not an art piece, a house.
I had another thought from our last conversation. Are you done?
I'm never finished. I thought you knew that.
What I mean is, forgive me if I interrupt. But last time you mentioned in the Philippines, and there's that chain of 7,800 some islands, and there's Japanese hospital ships sunk there, the vast trade, all this stuff. You mentioned the Aetherians, and that caught my interest. Is this a group of higher conscious hosts?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And are they in physical form, or they may be serving mission above ground in these interests? It's a matter of recognition, then.
They stick out like sore thumbs. And tourists, they're a little naive, but they certainly come up. They usually present in very fair, like Nordic, Norwegian, blue eyes, very fair complexion, and they act like tourists when they get up and among. And that's all right. The natives around the openings to the entrance to the Aetherian city, tunnels, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call these things in your language, but city is close enough, and a lot of the vaults and things are under, and the area that is the most active for the Aetherians coming up and visiting, and both underneath, you see, they also are able to breathe, if you will. They don't breathe like you do. If they're obviously running around in the air, they utilize your oxygen supply from the air. They are also able to breathe or utilize the oxygen supply from the sea. So they live as well under the water as they do out of the water, but not like fish. They don't literally wash this through gills. They're very fine of feature, very fine of fabric. They are etheric, but they are substantial enough that they function, and especially in your atmosphere, they will solidify. They will be compressed, and they will be very much like you. I have heard them described as, and I'm trying to give you something to relate to, as being the Adonis type, the very, very purely Nordic type, to the extent that they're easily recognized one for another. They're kind of cut from a mold. But they, of necessity or fair, they live in a different environment. And yes, I believe the area, I have different names for everything, but I believe it's called Sebal. If you look on your maps, look for Sebal. And down in that area, you're going to find the most density of Aetherians.
Are any of them perhaps as friends of God? Are they in government?
I'm scanning. No, not like you're thinking. Some of them have a lot of influence in government, but the Philippine government, if there is a corrupt government anywhere, you've got it there.
So there's nothing you really want to trust on paper otherwise?
No. I could not give you anyone that I would say, go in there and that one can really do it for you.
I was thinking some of the thoughts today, but you know how it gets tough on crew, and maybe myself, I have my own karmas how to sort out what the word karma means was the question.
But then karma is a crutch. Karma is a crutch that you can carry as long as you get, until you get sick of carrying it, and then you toss it. And you want me to give you some information, and this isn't the forum to do it, nor is any forum in which I have to speak like this, because I don't want any of this information running through. I don't want her to know anything. But you demand, sincerely demand help in this, and you'll get it. I've heard you.
I'll leave that one.
Thank you. I appreciate it, because it's so hard to have a discussion like this. And you hear well enough. You hear well enough.
On Terra X last night, they had the whole thing on Yamashita's gold. And all the stuff that they think they're doing about digging it up and all that was on TV last night.
They're getting closer to telling you, aren't they?
Yep.
They're getting you ready so that when it breaks through, you'll have it.
Is the Philippines one area that will go underwater like some of the other land masses?
It probably will, because these underground cities are going to raise.
Ah, they're like
bubbles. So there'll be an exchange, and there's a major, major cleansing going to happen to the Philippines, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be perceived as very, very bad.
Any time frame there?
Not that I'm going to tell. But I'll tell you, when you're having 8 and 9 point earthquakes up along in that sea, it's interesting.
Well, they have those that big in the Japan line, too.
Yes. Yes.
Well, my other thought was not for myself, but I see so many wonderful people here in this group, and I just wish, I'm glad to hear you say that things are going to go better for these people, because I can't see that they deserve to have it so tough.
Why?
Why?
Maybe that's
me,
a good question.
You tell me. You see, ones in here would say, how could you stand to be down there and lose as much as you've lost to fires, earthquakes, whatever? How do you learn? It is hard. God didn't say it would be easy. But how do you learn better than experience? How do you learn to trust God? I told Dorma, in 1988, Precious, you just work for me. I will see to it that you have shelter. I will see to it that everything is all right. It may not be abundance, and it may not be what you expect. If you will do this for me, I will, one, I will make sure that your children understand. Not at the moment, but eventually they will understand, because it means they have given up parents. And there are 9 children involved, and now 10 or 11 grandchildren. And they don't have a mother and a father. No one dares come to this area for fear they'll blow up the house or shoot the kids or abduct them. They know how to get to grandparents and parents. All of you who are parents understand that. This is why the CIA, the Mossad, the KGB will threaten families. Because after ones don't care about themselves anymore, you can get them through the family. So the best that these have been able to do is tell their children, this is the way it is. We made the choice. There is no return. There is no return. It's out there. It's done. And I know kids don't keep up with anything. And so, oh, well, that doesn't mean me. Yes, it means you. You just don't see how your mommy could be doing this. And you cannot see how your mommy might be the target of the Israeli Mossad. But stick around. But where else can you get the kind of lessons? I'm not talking about, oh, karma, I'm going to give you some lessons. I am talking about experience. I am talking about education and knowledge. This lady that speaks for me should hold 15 doctorate degrees. And I am not joking. You'll give honorary degrees to Henry Kissinger, who never earned anything except a place in hell. And you'll cast out of your society the ones who try to bring you truth. Well, she doesn't try really to bring you anything. She puts up with me. Well, I do. And how better to learn a lesson on the court system than to have to go through it, John? How better to learn what they can do to you than to be put in an Alzheimer's center because they bopped you over the head. And you're a prisoner. And I am so grateful to you who are willing, whether you remember that you offered or not is of no consequence to me. These are choices. These are things you do. It's part of your job and you accept it. It doesn't mean you like it or you're going to quit moaning and bitching about it. But it means that it allows all of us to see. And when we can see, then and only then can we do something about it. This system. You have to know, and how better to know it than to be in it. But it's nice to come back up and breathe air, isn't it, John? Even if it's still a little cloudy and a little confusing.
It's true.
When you have been gone, literally, lost in the confusion and the muck, to just come back up and breathe and say, hey, you know what? There's nothing can stop us. There is nothing anymore that can stop you. It doesn't mean that they can't hurt you, and it doesn't mean that you have to just flip your nose at them. You know, this is really silly. You don't badger your enemy. In fact, it pays to be nice to your enemy. You do not have to be your enemy to live. In fact, the nicer you are to your enemy without breaking the laws of God, the better off you're going to live. There are enough laws of the land that you can use without breaking laws. And you don't have to use any of them that are against the laws of God. But because a Henry Kissinger uses one of his lousy laws doesn't mean you can't also use it to the best of your ability within the same laws. It doesn't mean you have to become a Henry Kissinger, who, by the way, there's so many of them that you no longer know who he is. So if you get sunk in trying to figure out who this one or that one or the other one is, you'll miss your lessons. Doesn't matter who they are. They will surface like all bad entropy. And I can sympathize with you, I can empathize with you, and then I will tell you that we will make of it whatever you want to make of it. God is there for your command as long as you work within His laws. The minute you do it for yourself, He's going to smite you with it. You know, you'll get so much gold, you'll drown if you fall in the swimming pool. Watch. Some people have tried that. And some people are going to drown for having done it. And there's not going to be anybody to blame. They can cry out, "Echo, echo, Phoenix!" And it won't make a whit of difference. They're going to go down. And to me, it is sad and pathetic. For these people had the opportunity to be great. And they made wrong choices. At least in my opinion. And anything that is against the truth and the laws of God is a wrong choice. On that, I never compromise. So you cannot believe in me that I am real. You can believe that she's just shrewd enough to hoodwink you. That's a good old Masonic term. But most of you who know her don't think she's really capable of that. You don't have to agree so rapidly over here. But that's all right. It's absolutely true. And I think we're having fun. You ones just take too seriously a lot of the things. On the other hand, if you don't take them seriously as if each thing you're doing is of utmost importance, it doesn't get done, does it? Because there are too many out there trying to stop you. So it's time to keep your eyes open. And we hear the offer. And yes, everything would help. But I think God is sufficient. And as we move along, and a lot of the testing and the trials and tribulations of necessity for, quote, sorting, begins to come to an end. And ones begin to make their permanent choices. Get off the fences. Say, hey, I'm with you no matter what happens. It means it. You know, I'm not just with you till you strike my ego some way. And that's what I always have. I thought you were good, but I find you're evil. Isn't it interesting that it's usually when I have uncovered a crime and suddenly I'm the evil one? Ego is the downfall of mankind. And where soul is thin, ego is big. Relative. Exponentially. Huge. And it's sad because it strikes some that would be so worthy otherwise. And I lay that right to their own upbringing and their own parents that instill this horrendous need in the child to be something. If you don't do anything else, parents, make your babies be something. Special, precious. Because they are. Each is special. And have pride in that child so that he doesn't have to come and bang his chest, "Me Tarzan. You nothing. You don't have to be Superman. You have to be humble human." And then there is nothing greater. And I hope that we're all able to share. I hope that Wally Gentleman can get out here while he is in Southern California for the holidays. You have the possibility in your hands. Whenever we slow up a little bit, we're going to write another Sipapoo. I've started it. I called it the Muse. I just wanted to shake her up a little bit. We're not through. And George Vannoy and Wally Gentleman and I hope Little Crow will go and meet with Christopher Reeves. He would be ideal for directing this motion picture, and surely there are ones that would be far more suitable now, since we're 10 years later, for some of those roles that might like to make their own contribution to the production of the picture for its worthiness. But it was written so that a screenwriter could exchange roles, and there is no reason Christopher Reeve cannot play the role, the lead role. He's in an accident. He's cared for by the Indians. He is taken on journeys by Space Command. He does not have a severed spinal cord. He will go into the motion picture crippled. He will come out whole. I think that's worthy. I think that's worthy of a little time. And the world then hears and knows that there's a higher power at play here. And it doesn't have to be done so it's a direct offense to the adversary. It simply brings forth beautiful truth. I'm not in competition with the adversary. I find them like gnats that annoy me. And arguing with them, fighting with them, all these legal litigations with them are painfully boring. But you've got to get there, don't you? And I'm not asking for a world to believe in me. I want a world with its connections and soul back to God, or get out of the way. Because I'm sick and tired of standing by and having to follow the laws of the cosmos and not blow your asinine planet away. I didn't say blow you away. There's a much better place for you. But it's sort of like watching a ship loaded with gold that they're trying to steal go down. What are you going to do now, guys? Because I want to tell you, there is a cosmosphere parked right above where that went down. They can't even get to the spot without sinking their own ship, just like the Devil's Triangle. There is such a magnetic core between that platform and that hole in the water that they can't do anything but go down. These are not necessarily higher beings. These are ones with technology that is so superior to yours that they get along out there. with the brethren. So when the Hopis tell you this is the year when the great, great wars begin between the evil forces, I suggest you make sure that you get on God's side and back off and keep your mouth shut. We have a job of survival to do, a job of getting a remnant through, and we are going to do it. And if we work together, it is going to be very pleasant. You've learned that you can eat cabbage soup. So I would suggest that you ones grow cabbage along with other things. Tomatoes, cabbage, onions, and celery. You can mix it all together and live nicely. You can get yourself some ostriches, and one egg will be 2 dozen chicken eggs. Think. Just think and become creative. We can arrange that too. Yes.
As they change the viruses, are their frequencies also changing too?
Yes.
So how can we kill them?
Do you really think he expects me to answer that in this room on this tape?
Just general information.
Easy.
Kindness.
Easy. Very easy.
With love, huh?
That would work too. But
you pay them off with silver and gold.
You just sink them in silver and gold. Right. No, they're getting dire territory now. It's the lower life forms, precious ones, that get caught up by these bugs. You're all going to get sick from time to time, but they're after the lower life forms. Anything else? Should we have a break before
we read? I just had one question. Since we need to have more spelt on the planet, or what's to remain of the planet and the land masses, there were some projects in Kansas I'd started thinking about encouraging with growing that plant. Or is Kansas basically going to be underwater?
It's going to be damp. You have several things going in the wheat, in the grain belts. Let's talk about Nebraska, Kansas, those areas where so much wheat and grain have been grown. And along some of those rivers that now have wetlands, a smut. Do all of you, I'm not talking about literature, I'm talking about a mold, a smut, was introduced into the grain belt. And you're going to now, each year, lose more and more viable land to smut.
Who introduced it?
Oh, John, I couldn't even begin. It's a programmed plan decimation of your crop lands and your grain. Because grain is still the basic product on which man can survive. And it's been so hybridized that long since have you lost your original grains. Now, I will say that if anything will grow without being destroyed or contaminated with this, it is spelt. And sometimes you can get the spelt up high enough that it will head out. And then it doesn't matter if the stalks are lost. Spelt will not compromise its own quality. And it will always be able to be used. But once you have grown anything that can adhere to the hull or the grain, it can be transferred location-wise. So you have a real problem now with the transference of these disease organisms into other growing areas. And of course, that's the point. He who controls the food controls the masses. It sounds good. He who has the gold controls. But you see, he who has the gold then gets the food supply and the energy supply, and they've got it. But to grow spelt anywhere would be worthy. It's getting some reputation now. I haven't wanted to push it too much because it has been a good product for us, and we can maintain and keep the quality and its purpose. So that will unfold, but I don't know how long it would take to make it popular.
In saving the farm here in Tehachapi, one of the disciplines that I learned under Muktananda, and I don't know what your comments are on the gurus that followed in his wake, but that guru seva or service to God concept was certainly very good for producing a lot of work for God in that environment, albeit considering he may or may not, or was godly, etc. Here in Tehachapi, maybe you should have guru seva, Hatan Seva days at the farm where everybody as a community can come out and work. And
no, thank you. No gurus. There are plenty of gurus.
Let's say the farm Seva.
Labor Day.
Well, I don't know really how to answer this without being offensive. The last thing we need are any more damn gurus. You only need God. And in a creative mind, and then you can work one with another. But do not interpret that as meaning that I don't think you need teachers. You do. And what is ideal is to be able to outgrow your teacher. That gives them great, great joy to outgrow the teacher. Unfortunately, it rarely works that way. You've outgrown them before you got started is usually the problem, because as you grow, you find the errors. And some of them are absolutely intentional. That's something that you ones don't seem to understand. That a teacher will give you the flaw for you to find. That's part of your examination. To find the flaw, think about it, and still maintain your connection with God. And I don't care who it is. Satya Sai Baba, Babaji himself. He will give you the wrong thing so that you can learn better. I honor every teacher, and I do not choose one against another, including myself. I have a mission. Each one of these teachers have a mission. Baba's is not going to be the same as Tehachapi Hatan. It doesn't mean that his is less or his connection with God is lesser. But it means he is working with a different culture, a different task, a different motive, and a different track. So it's very hard, you know. Ones will write to me constantly about, how about this one? How about that one? Go learn. Reap the grain out of these teachings. You don't have to cast anyone into hell for anything. Just say, that doesn't measure up with what I know. And many will write and say, well, I just can't quite buy everything you say. Well, I hope not, because number one, these people have not heard everything I have to say. Nor are they possibly my thrust. You know, my answer to many is, I could care less. That's a wrong statement. I couldn't care less. I'm not trying to reach through to you, sir. anyone who will only pick all the bad things that maybe you could hold up as an error. I mean, you said it was on Tuesday, and it was actually on Wednesday that such and such happened. Oh, strike me. I'm talking about the concept of life and how you get to live it. And you are not just little preschoolers on your journey. You're back. So you do have more responsibility, and your teachers are going to be higher, more advanced. And that is not boasting. That is telling you the truth of it. Why would you send a college professor to teach preschool? And why would you try to teach calculus to a two-year-old? There is a line of learning and an experience flow. And when you have made it far enough to get to the other side and come back at a time like this on planet Earth, and you're a little planet. Sometimes I should hold my head in shame and say, oh, guys, when you really realize how little we are in the overall scheme of universal truth, you won't want to come meet with me on Sundays because, after all, there's such a big universe and we're so little. But you undersell yourselves. You've all been to that bigger universe. And you're here to do a job. And remember, there's only one soul. It is the soul of God. And all of these beings out here are manufactured entities to try to get your soul away from you. And when the war is looked at like that, you know that you can easily win it. You are fighting with all of the things of life. They're fighting with nothing. A short, short little lifespan of mechanical operation. And when you know that if you fall off the cliff, you can fly. I didn't say go jump off the stupid cliff, or the stupid person go jump off the nice cliff. Just to test the theory. Because God will also let you smash on the rocks below and say, you were really stupid. As long as we are moving in the right direction with our connection fully intact, nothing can stand against us. We don't have to do anything either, except prepare ourselves.